If you have a Bible today, turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. You know, those songs are so important. Wonderful messages in them, but they're sweet to sing for our Savior. And the scripture we'll look at, all scripture is important. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, the Bible says. But today we'll be in Philippians chapter 4. Very, very important verses. Helps us to know that the Lord's on the throne. Amen. But let's begin in verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Isn't that an important thing? Pray about everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, there's a great list here. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the power of it. Thank you that this book is alive. Quicken us today. Minister to us. Lord, give us peace for your honor and for your glory today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oh, oh, isn't that a blessing? She's fine. She is fine. We'll just, not a problem. Amen. Yeah. Amen. A good report. You know, I think it's good to think about good things. There's an old saying, G-I-G-O, giggle, and I don't know what that really means, but if good things come in, good things go out. If bad things come in, bad things go out. Evil communications corrupt good manners, and all of the verses that deal with that. I like good news. I'd much rather hear good news, and that's what the Bible's telling us, to think about that good report. I looked up that word, and as a verb, to report means this, to give an account or to relate or tell, to bring back an answer. So we're reporting something. If you use it as a noun, then it's the report, it's the record of what took place, a record of an account. And we are to think about the good report. Think on these things. Because that's pleasing to the Lord, but He knows that's profitable for us. Some people are negative thinkers. And boy, you don't get anywhere if you're a negative thinker, you know. A positive thinker is good, but it has to be on the positive things of God. Proverbs 25:25 says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. You've probably all experienced that. Proverbs 15:30, the light of the eyes rejoice the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. Do you remember, anybody here remember the report card? The report card. And, you know, everybody, all the kids in school, we loved to get our report card. And back in that day, it was A's and B's and C's and D's. And there was another one that was really popular and down at the bottom. But there was also on the report cards that we got, they were handwritten. You had to write that you saw it, and the parent would send it back. But there were not only the grades, there was a little section that was on conduct. And conduct was either satisfactory or unsatisfactory. Remember that? And whatever it said, if it was unsatisfactory, you got questioned when you got it home. But that was a report on what you did for that 6 weeks. And we have a teacher here, so she's very familiar with that. And, of course, nobody in her class ever did anything wrong, and they all got A's. Amen? Pretty close to that. But anyway, that was a report on what your work was. A dad said to his son one time, may I see your report card? And the son said, I don't have it. And the dad said, why not? And he said, I gave it to my friend. He wanted to scare his parents. I don't know what your report cards were like. You know, you always heard the expression, one of these days you'll be sorry that you didn't do better in school. You know, I was sorry when I was in school. let alone one of these days. In the scripture, in the Bible, there's many examples of good reports and evil reports, and not only those reports, but how they affected somebody. How they affected somebody. And a good report will affect somebody, and an evil report will affect somebody. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, the Bible says. And you get a person thinking the wrong way or negatively, you can just pile it on. And that just really breaks the spirit. I want to introduce a series of books to you today. I don't have them here, but it's called The Callback Series. And it's by Harvey and Tate Publishers. And what they do, missionaries, pastors, lay people that have gone through a trial, they call back. That's why they call it The Callback Series. And they explain how God got them through and how God's will was worked out in their life and how there was a blessing that came because of it. The books are entitled Illness, Loneliness, Frustration, Handicaps, Old Age. And there are all these topics, and there's maybe 10, 15 chapters in each one. And it's somebody calling back and giving you a report of what God did in their life. I think that's a blessing, and those books are a blessing. So if you can get any of those, Harvey and Tate Publishers, The Callback Series. Philippians 4:11, Paul said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." That is his life. That was his story. "In whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Boy, contentment's a hard one many times. And you might have it one day and then you don't have it the next. I mean, it's fleeting. It goes. But there's so many scriptures that deal with that and tell us that being content would be a blessing. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So that's a story in the Bible that I want to be my life. And that's why God records those, because he shows how Paul was content. And if anybody didn't need to be content or didn't want to be content, it would be the Apostle Paul. What he went through was really tremendous. Psalm 37, 25, this is David. "I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. My cup runneth over. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God." And all of the verses in Psalms. And that was his life. He's telling his life story. These things are written for our learning and our admonition. Reader's Digest used to have drama in real life. I think they still have that. And you read somebody's story and how they got out of trouble, how they escaped from a pack of wolves or whatever the story was about. And when you started the story, it was pretty tense, but you always knew at the end something good was going to happen. And so we read to be encouraged. Amen? But this is more than Reader's Digest. This is the Word of God that he put these stories in here that they might teach us and that we can maybe follow somebody's example. Paul's all the time saying that. Follow me as I follow Christ. And so David is the same way. As we read through the Psalms, they're my favorite portion of Scripture. But you see what David went through, honest, right out there in front. And you see the trial that he had. And you see how God helped him. And those things are so important. Job chapter 42 and verse 5, Job said, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Therefore," what's it there for? "Therefore I repent in dust and ashes." And there was a time, and maybe still I get a little twinge when God directs me to read the book of Job. And I wonder why he's getting me to read the book of Job. Amen? Because it was a tough book. And Job had everything, and you know the whole story of the book of Job. This is chapter 42. This is the last chapter in the book. And he says, "I've heard of you, but now I see you. Therefore, because of that," amen, "because of what I've seen, I repent in dust and ashes." And we want that in our life. Amen. We want that to be true. That's Job's story. We want that. That's Paul's story. That's David's story. Listen to their stories as they call back to us. We learn about faith from Abraham, love from John, forgiveness from Joseph, the Father's will from Jesus. Those are stories in our Bibles. The parables, earthly story about a heavenly truth. The parables are there for a reason. The seed and the sower. All of these stories in the Bible, we ought to be familiar with them. That's why in Sunday school, my wife teaches the children Bible stories. Bible stories are important. I like to do that too. I like to tell about Bible stories. You know, what was it, the Luke chapter 10, the Good Samaritan, the priest, who else was there? The scribe, or the what? The Levite. And the man that was beaten and left for dead, and then the Good Samaritan. And you say, and which one would you have been? Well, I've been the one beaten, amen. And I'm sure the Lord came along and spared my life. He did that for me. He did that for a lot of you too. And so we apply that. What God creates, the devil corrupts. And God created something in man that when he heard a good report, he is going to be encouraged, he is going to be blessed, and he's going to share that blessing with somebody else. And what God creates, the devil corrupts. So he brings up the evil report. We're going to look at that in the scripture today. And you'll see the importance of it and how we can really be a blessing to other people. In Nehemiah, I don't think you'll have to turn there. Let me just get back there. Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah has come back with the people of Israel, and they're rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. They're coming out of captivity now. There's a list of people that don't like that, and they're trying to hinder the work. In chapter 6, you read about Tobiah and Sanballat and Geshem and Shemaiah. And this is one verse that I will read, Nehemiah 6:13. Therefore was he hired, one of these men, that I should be afraid and do so in sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. There was an evil report they wanted to bring upon Nehemiah and the people. This is Nehemiah chapter 6 in verse 7. Verse 2. That Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. My wife and I were in North Carolina one time, and we went to a church there. And there was a young preacher, and they were giving him opportunity to speak. I think it was his first message that he ever preached. And I remember sitting there praying for that young man. And the title of his message was from this text, and it was, Ono, I won't go to Ono. And it stuck in my mind. Nehemiah chapter 6, you'll never forget it. But in this chapter, it says, for they all made us afraid, saying their hands shall be weakened from the work that it be not done. I perceive that God had not sent him. I'm just reading different verses in chapter 6. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid, that they would put me in fear. And Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear. You have all of those verses about a report that's going to put somebody in fear, that's going to hinder the work of God. God told Nehemiah and the people to build the walls. And by the way, so many chapters after that, they finished building the walls because they did not fall for that evil report or that being in fear. And there's so many stories in the Bible like that. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul says about his ministry. He said, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. It didn't matter who reported, whether good or bad, about him. He was going to continue to serve the Lord. Amen? And sometimes when people encourage you, you have more strength to do something right. But when people criticize you, it kind of cripples you. You know, and it even makes you question yourself. But no matter what they said or did to Paul, he just kept right on going for the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. And the problem with that was the church at Corinth, the early church, and there was fornication among the people. And they did nothing about it. And you can read chapter 5 and see how Paul corrected that. But that was a testimony of the church. It was commonly reported. I don't know what everybody thinks of our church. When I go out and I talk to somebody about our church, oh yeah. And that's about as far as they go. Oh, yeah. Would you like to come? Oh, no. You know? And I don't know. I really don't know what the reputation of the church is. But we want it to be clean and pure. Amen? We want it to be holy. We want it to be a place where people love God and love other people. And that's a good thing to be reported to the community. Not something that is wrong or there's trials in the church. 2 Samuel chapter 13 is the story about David, and he's having problems with Absalom, his son. And I just read this portion of scripture. This is in 2 Samuel 13, verse 30. And it came to pass while they were in the way that tidings came to David. This is a report that was brought back to King David, saying, Absalom has slain all the king's sons, and there is not one of them left. Boy, what a bad report. Amen. And you can imagine what took place. It says, then the king arose, tear his garments, and lay on the earth, and all his servants stood by with their clothes rent. This evil report about all of his sons being killed just absolutely destroyed him emotionally. And then it says in verse 32, and Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother, answered and said, let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men, the king's sons, for Amnon only is dead, for by appointment of Absalom hath he been determined from that day that he forced his sister Tamar. And so that changed the whole thing. Here, everybody's dead, all my sons are dead, to only Amnon is dead. And I wrote this down. I think it's a good thing to... A false supposition brings true grief. A false story of negativity or dread or a real problem, and it's not true, it can bring true grief. It can stop you in your tracks. And it can really, really do harm to the work of God. So that's what happened in David's time. The stories are endless about this. Turn in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to give you two stories. This is one. Numbers chapter 13. And we will begin reading in verse 1. This is about Israel and wanting to go into the land. And God has done great things for them. And so they're going to spy out the land out of Egyptian bondage. Chapter 13, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Key verse. I give it to the children of Israel. Go search it out, but I'm going to give you that land. And it says, of every tribe of their fathers shall they send a man, every one a ruler among them. There are 12 tribes in Israel, and they send the ruler of every tribe, so that's 12 spies, into the land to see what was going on in the land. We drop down to verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether there be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities there be, they be that dwell in them, whether in tents or in strongholds. So they're gonna see what this is all about. Verse 20. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from this place to that place, and they ascended by the south, and they're going to come back here. Verse 23. And they came unto the brook Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. That's how fruitful this land was. And they brought of the pomegranates and the figs. The place was called the brook of Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. The reason they went out into the land to see what was good, to see what was bad, and to bring the report back. That was their responsibility. Verse 26. And they went out and came to Moses and to Aaron, all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. It was very fruitful. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us. Surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit thereof. Nevertheless, boy, something else is going to pop in here. The people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said unto us, go up at once and possess, for we are well able to overcome them. Here's reality, okay? The reality is it's a fruitful land. The reality is there's an enemy. Do you know that about the Christian life? Amen? The fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace, all of those wonderful things. God is so good to us. But there's a prince and power of the air, and there's the powers of darkness that are at work in this world right now. The world, the flesh, and the devil are all ready to attack. God's ready to help. Amen? So we have promises in the Bible that God gives us so we can have victory. And we can have fruit, love, joy, and peace. He gives us that ability. There are enemies in the land. You face them every day. And it depends on who you believe. So it goes on in verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And that evil report was believed by the people. Joshua and Caleb said, no, we can do it. And I wrote down a number of things about this. Think of this. It's amazing how an evil report can affect so many people and a good report affects so few. A lot of people believed that report and they could not go into the land, and there was a real result because of that. Here's another point. It's amazing how the very best, the leaders, can be negative and not positive. You would have expected positivity, so position doesn't guarantee that either. Here's another one. It's amazing how easy it is to doubt God and how hard it is to trust Him. And something comes into our life and it's easy to doubt that God's going to do anything for us. And the enemy is always saying, bringing up that evil report, this isn't going to work. Here's another one. Opposition does not mean defeat. Difficulty does not mean defeat. The 12 spies saw the same thing. They saw the fruit of the land. They had the promise of God. And yet, only two of them were positive. And why were they positive? Because they believed God. Now look at chapter 14, just a couple verses. Here's the tragedy of an evil report. Verse 36, chapter 14, verse 36. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned, and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. And if you read and study those chapters more, everyone that was 20 years old and older died in the wilderness. So they wandered in the wilderness and they could not possess the land. And so you see all of these different truths coming from the Bible. These are stories. And so we read about a good report and an evil report. What should be our report? Amen? Faith is a victory that overcometh the world. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And the verses go on and on and on because God wants us to be victorious. I preached a couple weeks ago on the plague of his own heart. And sometimes that brings about negative thinking. And that brings about a belief in that evil report. They all saw the fruit. To be in a church like the church at Thessalonica, boy, they were powerful. When Paul preached, they believed the word was the word of God, not the word of men, and it worketh effectually in them that believe, and they were very, very good Christians. The church at Corinth was a carnal church, but there were some great believers in that. We think about the church at Philadelphia. If we go down through the church ages where all the revivals were, that's not our age. Revival can still happen, but not like it was happening. Our nation is changing. The world is changing. Amen? I mean, you can see that on every corner. So Laodicean church, some great Christians in the Laodicean church. But yeah, but what about this and what about that? And are we ever, somebody asked me today, and I agree, boy, I'd like to fill this place up. Amen? Wouldn't you like to do that too? Well, people just don't want to come to church anymore, so I quit asking. Keep asking. Amen? It's exactly what the devil wants, to bring up the evil report. Well, this is the last days and everybody's lukewarm. There's a lot of lukewarm people, and these are the last days. And there's a list of what takes place during that. But people still can get saved. Amen? People still can live a life of great testimony for the Lord. And it just depends on if we hear the good report or the evil report. Here's another story. Look at 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 9. In the book of Revelation, it says, bring your Bible so you can read and hear the word, because these things will just jump right out at you. 2 Chronicles chapter 9, and let's begin reading in verse 1. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem, with a very great company and camels and bare spices and gold in abundance, and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions, and there was nothing hid from Solomon which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, his cupbearers also, and their apparel, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was true, a true report which I heard in mine own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not their words until I came, and my eyes have seen it, and behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me, for thou exceedest the fame I heard. There's a song we sing, the half has not been told. The half has not been fancied. Happy are thy men. Let me see how many verses here. Happy are thy men. Happy are thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee upon his throne, to be king of the, for the Lord thy God, because God loved Israel to establish them forever. Wherefore made he thee king over them to do judgment and justice. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and great spices. Verse 10, and the servants also of Hiram, and the servants of Solomon, which brought the gold, brought other things. Verse 11, and the king made of algum trees terraces to the house of the Lord, and to the king's palace, and harps and psalteries for singers, and just goes on. But verse 12, and King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which she had bought, brought unto the king. So she turned and went away to her own land, she and her servants. She heard about Solomon. She heard about his wisdom. She heard about his greatness. And so she said, I'm going to go see him. That makes sense. Amen. There was a guy that made an excuse not coming to the banquet. And he says, I bought 12 yoke of oxen, and I must go and prove them. No, you prove them before you buy them. Amen. So she says, I'm going to go prove him with hard questions. And that's exactly what she did. He answered all of them, and she was convinced, and it was a true report. She had heard, but she didn't know the truth of it. We read our Bible all the time, the callback series. Somebody went through what we read in the scripture, and they call back and they say, yeah, I went through that, and this is what God did for me. And he can do the same thing for all of us, amen? And maybe there's something that you read in the Bible and you need that. God can use that in your life to give you victory over the trial that's ahead for you. She went to prove him, and she did that. And this is the key to this. In Luke chapter 11, verse 31, Jesus said this, "The queen of the south," that's the queen of Sheba, "shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and a greater than Solomon is here." There is no comparison. She went to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and she says, "Man, the half has not been told. I've heard this about you. I proved him with hard questions. He answered every question. Everything was right. He really has wisdom." And she went home rejoicing in that. We have a greater than Solomon. Just think about it. Let this truth just kind of soak in. Amen? There's a greater than Solomon. This is the Word of God. We can come and we can prove him with hard questions. He will answer everything out of this book. Absolutely everything. There's an answer for everything in here. And we prove him. He is greater than Solomon. Why aren't we in this book more? Amen? We should be in there all the time. I don't know about you. I had a difficulty. I think it was back in 1981. That's the only difficulty I've ever had in my life. I've been confused about making a decision, I think twice in my life, maybe twice in a minute, you know. And there's so many things that we go through. And what we do is we pick our answers out of wherever. And a lot of times when you get an answer to that problem from the world, it's not the correct answer. It's not a true report. It's something that is not going to work spiritually. Oh, it may work circumstantially and carnally, but it's not going to work spiritually for you. The spiritual answers are in the Bible. Amen? And greater than Solomon is here. It is a true report. She came to prove him. Remember David in the Bible, and he was watching his sheep, and there was a great battle getting ready to rage between Goliath and the Philistines and Israel. And nobody would go fight the giant. And so David gets there and he says, "I'll fight the giant. God used me to kill a lion and a bear. What's this uncircumcised Philistine?" He said, I can do that. He's just a teenager. And so Saul, big Saul, head and shoulders above everybody, he should have been the one to fight Goliath. But he says, "Here, David, put on my armor." Can you imagine that? David's about this high and Saul's about this high. And so he puts on Saul's armor and he says, "I can't go in these." And do you know why? He said, "I haven't proved them. I've proved the sling. I've proved how I can kill a lion and a bear. And if God used me to do that with this, God will use this to do that with the Philistine." And he wouldn't go in Saul's armor. Amen? You need your own weapons. You need your own armor. Bible's full of it. Bible's full of the sword of the Spirit, and that we can have victory. But he says, "I can't go in these because I haven't proved them." In 1 Timothy 3:10, we have deacons here. We had two good men, and we didn't pull names out of a hat. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:10, "Let these also first be proved." First be proved. "Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless." These men go to all the services. They're always here to help. They do whatever they can. They're faithful to the Lord. Okay. The church voted on them. We have two good deacons. Amen? But let them first be proved. And so they have proven themselves faithful. We have Paul in the book of Romans. "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, perfect will of God." So God, we take the Bible and God works that in us that we might prove his will and prove what is right. David said in the Psalms, Psalm 17:3, "Thou hast proved mine heart, thou hast visited me in the night, thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress." And you read about his good report in the Psalms. What I'm saying is there's good news and bad news. There's truth and there's error. There is good report, there's evil report. Either one, if you follow it, is going to affect your life. God never makes a mistake. Amen? He doeth all things well. His word is pure. It's It's powerful. It's always true. Thy word is truth, and the Spirit will guide us into all truth. You know the verses as well as I do. It's all about the Bible. It's the good report that we need to think about. Today, we celebrate the Lord's Supper. I don't know, sometimes when we do things over and over and over, it gets complacent, and we don't recognize how vital this is, because the Lord puts so much in the Scripture about the Lord's Supper and how we ought to love Him. But listen to a couple verses. 1 Corinthians 11:28. Let a man examine himself, and so eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Self-examination. Search me, O God, know my heart, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I want you to do it. Why? Because my heart lies to me, and I want the truth of the Scripture. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Prove your own selves so that we worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's what we're going to do in a minute. We're going to take the bread and think about the broken body, and we're going to think about that. We're going to meditate on it, and we're going to be thankful for it. Amen? At least that's what we should be. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And we think, if I tithe, if I give money to the church, I'm going to become wealthy. That's not the gist of that. We have spiritual things that God will do for us. The riches of His grace, His wisdom that is priceless. Amen. And how He can, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, given unto us. We tithe to support the church. We tithe to do the work of God. Amen? That's why we do it. And God says, prove me now, and I'll bless you. It doesn't always have to be monetarily. Amen? That's a good point, because you don't give to get finances. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him, o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more, how I've proved Him. We all have a story. We have a report. My report, my wife's report, because we've discussed these things, God's been good to us. It's been good to see how God has used us, not boasting at all, because we are just like little children doing an errand for the Father. But He sends us on an errand, and He blesses what we do. Amen? And that's our report. And David has a report, and Paul has a report, Stephen has a report. All of these men have reported something. I want that to be true in my life too. Amen? I want what I talk about. A dear friend of mine, actually Karen's husband, who was here visiting, her husband Lee, passed away, and then she went out to Arizona. No, is it Arizona with her daughter? But her first husband was an evangelist, and they joined our church in Sturgis. And I remember him, he had real bad trouble, real bad illnesses. And he told me, he said, Paul, he says, I want to go right. I want to go home to be with the Lord. I want my grandchildren to see the faith of their grandfather. He called back, and as I remember his testimony, that's encouraging to me. Amen? It's so important. One more portion of Scripture. John chapter 20. You can turn there. John chapter 20. This is the story of Doubting Thomas. Remember Doubting Thomas? But everything got turned around for him. But let's begin reading at verse 24. John 20, verse 24. Thomas was one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands and the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. That's a good statement. Sometimes everybody says this, 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 but you got to see it for yourself. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." That's us. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. 1 Peter 1, "Whom having not seen, ye love. Though we see him not now, yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable." This is the report. We haven't seen it. We've read it. Our eyes have read it. But we haven't seen him. One day we will. But he says, these are written that you might believe. Amen? That book is true. And that turned him from doubting Thomas to believing Thomas. And it had nothing to do with somebody else, with what somebody else told him. He says, "I've got to see it for myself." What is your report today? And who are you reporting it to? Amen? God gave us a testimony that we might share it with somebody and that we might see people saved. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. God's been so good to us. He's given us the truth. He's given us a good report, and he said, "Think on that. Think on that report, that good report, because that'll help you in your life." We get ready to have the Lord's Supper, and we want to think about him now. We want to love him. We want our hearts to be close to him. Our Father, open our eyes that we might see. May we see your blessing. May we see the goodness of the Lord. Help us as we report our findings to other people that they would be encouraged. And I pray as we prepare to partake of the bread, partake of the blood, that you'll be honored and glorified and remembered for your sacrifice for us. Bless us now, please. In Jesus' name, amen.